Who Owns the Future? Author: Jaron Lanier. The Challenge: The clamor for online attention only turns into money for a minority of ordinary people, but there is another, new, tiny class of people who always benefit. Those who keep the new ledgers, the giant computing services that model you, spy on you, and predict your actions, turn your life activities into the greatest fortunes in history. Those are concrete fortunes made of money. The digital networking ought to promote a two-way transaction in which you benefit, concretely, with real money. We want digital networking to cause more value from people to be on the books, rather than less. When we make our world more efficient through the use of digital networks, that should make our economy grow, not shrink. The problem in brief: we're used to treating information as free, but the price we pay for the illusion of free is only workable so long as most of the overall economy isn't about information. Today we can still think of information as the intangible enabler of communications, media, and software. But as technology advances, our present intuition about the nature of information will be remembered as narrow and short-sighted. We can think of information narrowly only because sectors like manufacturing, energy, healthcare, and transportation aren't yet particularly automated or net-centric. But eventually, most productivity probably will become software-mediated. Software could be the final industrial revolution. This could start to happen, for instance, once cars and trucks are driven by software instead of human drivers, and robot nurses handle the material aspects of caring for the elderly. We strongly doubt that neat picture would unfold. Instead, if we go on as we are, we will probably enter into a period of hyper-unemployment and the attendant political and social chaos. The outcome of chaos is unpredictable, and we shouldn't rely on it to design our future. Change in the way people are valued. The primary influence on the way technologists have come to think about the future since the turn of the century is their direct experience of digital networks through consumer electronics. It only takes a few years, not a lifetime, for a young person to experience this change. Chips get better at an accelerating rate. They don't just accumulate improvements in the way that a pile of rocks gets higher when you add more rocks. Instead of being added, the improvements multiply. The technology seems to always get twice as good every 2 years or so. More things can be done practically for free, if only it weren't for those people who want to be paid. When machines get incredibly cheap to run, people seem correspondingly expensive. It used to be that printing presses were expensive, so paying newspaper reporters seemed like a natural expense to fill the pages. When the news became free, that anyone would want to be paid at all started to seem unreasonable. This can make salaries and social safety nets seem like unjustifiable luxuries. The essence of digital information, given both the momentum to screw up the human world and the capability to vastly improve it, how will people behave? The choices we make in the architecture of our digital networks might tip the balance between the opposing waves of invention and calamity. Digital technology changes the way power, or an avatar of power such as money or political office, is gained, lost, distributed, and defended in human affairs. Lately, network-empowered finance has amplified corruption and delusion, and the internet has destroyed more jobs than it has created. Siren server. A siren server is an elite computer. It is characterized by narcissism, hyper-amplified risk aversion, and extreme information asymmetry. Siren servers gather data from the network, often without having to pay for it. The data is analyzed using the most powerful available computers, run by the very best available technical people. The results of the analysis are kept secret and are used to manipulate the rest of the world to advantage. That plan will always eventually backfire, because the rest of the world cannot indefinitely absorb the increased risk, cost, and waste dispersed by a siren server. Siren servers suck all the data and a vast majority of profits, pulling traditional businesses out of business and concentrating wealth and power in the hands of a small elite few. Instead of paying people in dollars for their data, siren servers pay them in candy or lower front-end costs. For example, Facebook takes your data in exchange for being able to brag about yourself and stalk your friends. What is Facebook worth with zero users? $0. But Facebook has 1.1 billion users and is worth $110 billion. All 1.1 billion users create monetary value for Facebook wherever they add a friend, post an update, add a photo or like a page, but the vast majority never see a dime. So who gets monetary compensation on Facebook? Zuckerberg, who controls the entire company, the small group of VCs who invested, the public shareholders, and maybe a few million people who have businesses that run on top of Facebook. So, if Facebook is worth $0 with zero users, why do only a tiny percentage of people actually get any monetary compensation from it? A sustainable information economy. A humanistic approach to future digital economies might, on first sniff, smell redistributionist. But it is nothing of the kind. Some people would contribute and earn more than others. The point is not to create a fake contest where everybody is guaranteed to win, but rather to be honest about who contributed to successes, so as not to foster fake incentives. Provenance. The foundational idea of humanistic computing is that the provenance is valuable. Information is people in disguise, and people ought to be paid for value they contribute, and can be sent or stored on a digital network. The primary distinguishing feature of humanistic computing is therefore two-way linking. If two-way linking had been in place, a musician, for example, would have known who had copied his music. Dynamic value. The price of computation in a humanistic information economy ought never be set exclusively by rote, but always determined by market negotiation. We will never know for sure in advance how valuable a particular datum might turn out to be. Each use of data will determine a fresh valuation of it in context. There will be vastly more commercial events than in the world we are used to. Every time code runs, a lot of people will be paid a tiny bit each. There is no such thing as calculation without data. Therefore, if the provenance of the data has been preserved, even calculators can generally be expanded to yield additional results about who should get credit for making them possible. Regulating prices. Some libertarian idealists would prefer that markets be freed from regulators. Let's for a moment, though, assume that a regulatory function will still find a place in the economies of the future. In that case, a regulator might seek a principle for tweaking policies to make sure that information isn't becoming too cheap or too expensive overall. If it were to become too expensive, not only would less successful people be thrown into a vicious circle of disenfranchisement, but the economy would also stall because innovation would become too expensive. If information becomes too cheap, the siren server pattern could reappear, which would lead to massive unemployment and economic contraction. As always, a sweet spot is found approximately somewhere in the middle. The correct price of information should be the price at which the siren server can make no money without adding value to the information that is gathered. But the price should not be so high that adding value can't generate a profit. Three pervasive creepy conundrums. There's an industry built around a set of tricky problems that include online security, privacy, and identity. The industry extends into antivirus protection, online reputation management, credit repair, data recovery, help desk subcontractors, fancy firewalls, and too many other examples to list. At times we have mused that the servicing of these concerns might be the way to support middle classes in the long term. Billions of people could labor to fix each other's privacy and security debacles. Alas, aside from the dark absurdity, an economy based on this principle wouldn't create enough wealth. If middle classes aren't earning money from something else, they won't be able to pay each other to man the help desks. Is there any other way to manage the complexity of creepiness? Avatars and credit. One of the hardest questions about a humanistic economic scenario is how to get there from where we are. Who will step up and take risks in order to learn if this new world will come about? It's not only a political challenge, but an economic one, since a present economy of a certain size would somehow fund a quantum leap to a new, larger economy despite a gigantic accounting vacuum. How would the initial surge of required credit be financed? The cognitively gentle mechanism of economic avatars gives a hint about how a transition might work. The fluid nature of digital systems would allow for the coexistence of both old and new economic systems during a transitional period, which would motivate a gradual person-by-person transition. Each person could remain in the world of fake free for as long as they desired. However, a person could also eventually decide when she's had enough of free and will prefer to buy into a commercial social contract where she can earn money. This means that two sets of accounting books would be kept for people who aren't paying for information, so that they can transition from free to universal micropayments whenever the time comes. Game on. Why is big business data often flawed? The unreliability of big business data is a collective project we all participate in. Blame the hive mind. A wannabe siren server might enjoy honest access to data at first, as if it were an invisible observer. But if it becomes successful enough to become a real siren server, then everything changes. A tide of manipulation rises, and the data gathered becomes suspect. What is to be remembered? Our sketch of a possible future will hopefully prod hotshot young computer scientists and economists to prove that they can do better, and to present improved designs. Please do that. But also please stop once per hour and check yourself. Are you still keeping people in the center? Is it still all about the people?